Hello, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we have open lines right now for you. 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of Revelation, or if you have a personal issue you'd like to discuss, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. That's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. And of course, guys, today, day 7, our focus on the book of Revelation. Bob and Richard, wow, it's getting exciting right along in here.
Well, it is getting exciting. We're actually entering into really the heart and soul of this particular letter. Chapter 6 through 16 really strike at the core of what John is trying to communicate to us. We see a series of judgments, three different sets of seven judgments, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. This is where, for a lot of people, Revelation becomes a very frightening, scary book, where you would just want to check out and, you know, let the theologians deal with it. But there is a message in these chapters for us who believe in Christ Jesus, and it is a very important message. It's one that all of us need. All of us need to hear time and time again, because our hearts grow weary, because our minds start to doubt. We need assurance, and within these chapters, we see some of the most assuring passages of Scripture contained in the entire Word of God, and we see it. Right out of the chute here in Revelation 6, we have to go back to chapter 5 to really set the stage. Jesus has taken the scroll from God the Father's right hand. It's a scroll that is written on the front and the back, so that indicates the complete plan of God is contained in that scroll. It's sealed with seven seals, and John wept bitterly at the thought that no one could open those seals. But Jesus steps forward, the one worthy to open the scrolls, the lamb slaughtered from the foundation, the one whom all honor, praise, and glory goes. He steps forward. He takes the scroll. And in chapter 6, he opens six of the seven seals. And these seven seals represent judgment that is going out upon the world. And the first four seals, we see the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We see a white horse with a rider, a red horse with a rider, a black horse with a rider, a fourth horse with a rider. And these horses are white and red and black and green. The riders all have some aspect of the world system that they incorporate. And what the message is that there's no hope in this world. The world system is destined to destruction. The only thing that it offers to those who partake is death. That is the end result. And so we see it very vividly. And then there's a fifth seal that is broken. And this fifth seal reveals an altar in heaven. And under this altar are the souls of those martyred for their testimony concerning Jesus Christ. And these souls were crying out, "How long, Lord, until you avenge our blood?" And I'm sure there's many times that we feel the same way right now, you know, in life. Things don't seem to be going our way. We seem to be hammered down on every side. And we think, "How long, Lord, are you going to let this go on? How long?" And God has a plan. That's what the scroll is all about. Yeah. That's what these seals are all about. And so in light of that, he tells these souls to continue to rest. He gives each a white robe, signifying that they have been made righteous in the sight of Christ. And then he says more saints are to join them. There's more that are going to be martyred, more suffering, more tribulation. And we see that happening in the world today, don't we, Richard?
Yes, we do. We were talking a little bit about this during our Bible study today at noon, and then Greg, on the other side of the glass here, had remembered something he saw last night and went and got it and sent me a link to a report that is stunning. One of the the universities has done a study that demonstrates that over the last decade, over the last 10 years, on average, 11 Christians have been killed every hour of every day for each of those 10 years. That's a stunning number.
It is stunning.
And it's not reported. It's ignored. It is absolutely true in the context of these seals that the world system, which has been the world system since Adam and Eve fell, okay, it's not something coming in the future. It's been that way. But here Jesus is revealing it to us. That world system could care less that a million Christians are killed. The more Christians killed, the better, because that's the way Satan wants it. And Jesus is revealing to us, have hope, be patient. I'm coming. I'm going to deal with this. And we're supposed to leave it in his hands and keep our eyes focused on him rather than on the problems that we're suffering.
Yes, indeed. So persecution, suffering, tribulation is happening.
It's normal.
Out there in the world. It's just what we're destined for, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. That's part of being a Christian. It's not the good part.
Mm-hmm.
John even said that he was a fellow participant in the tribulation as well as in the kingdom.
Yes.
He was suffering. He was experiencing tribulation. That's just part and parcel for a believer today. We don't see a lot of it here in the United States of America. We see it in other forms, criticisms, that sort of thing. But in other parts of the world, it's life and death
every
stuff.
Day.
Yes,
yeah, it's time for us to wake up.
Yes,
here
it
in
is.
This country.
And then the sixth seal is broken, and that initiates a great earthquake. Sun becomes dark, moon turns blood red, the sky is rolled up like a scroll, stars fall from the heavens, mountains and islands are moved. It's an incredible scene, and it's so shocking to people that they run and hide. They try to escape the wrath that is to come, and they cry out, for the great day of their wrath has come. Who is able to survive? That is a sobering question. And I think when we read that question, it kind of puts a little fear in our hearts. But we as believers don't need to be fearful. Why? Because the question has already been answered.
Yes,
for us.
Yes.
Paul answered it very succinctly in Romans 5, verse 9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from God's wrath through him. If you have been justified by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, you will be saved from the wrath to come. John weighs in on this question as well. He says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, you have overcome the world. There is no wrath stored up for you. That is directed toward those who have rejected Jesus Christ, not to those who have received him.
And
that's good news.
Good news, and that's Basic Gospel, friends. You've tuned to Basic Gospel. We have open lines. If you want to be a part of the conversation, we'd like for you to join us. 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call all across the country and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Lines available, time on the clock. Hey, what else could you ask for?
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to San Jose, California, and talk to Mark, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Hey, have you read The Coming Prince by Sir Robert Anderson?
I have not.
Okay, well, it's a thing about the 70 weeks of Daniel. And I was reading how he was saying that Christ's baptism in the year 28 and 29 is a very well-established date. And I got to thinking how Gabriel said that it'd be 7 weeks and 62 weeks until, you know, Christ would get baptized. And if that's a lock sure date, like Sir Robert Anderson says it is, then we can surely figure to the very hour that the sixth trumpet, not the return of Christ, but the sixth trumpet, which had to be 9/11. And this is how I did it. In Jeremiah chapter 28, it says that the first year of Zedekiah was the fourth year in the sabbatical cycle. So quite obviously, his 11th year would be the Sabbath year, as Rabbi David Kimchi and others have written. So are you still with me?
Yeah, so you're saying 9/11, that the destruction of the Twin Towers is the sixth trumpet?
Yeah, and you can figure it to the precise hour. The only problem is interpreting the 1263 and a half days, because it says after 1263 and a half days, then within the same hour, the sixth trumpet sounds. Not the return of Christ, but the sixth trumpet is prepared for a quote-unquote day, an hour, a month, and a year, whereas the baptism of Christ is only given to the year, not the month or the day or the hour. But what I'm saying is, since the prophecies are closed up and sealed until the time of the end, when the wise will understand these mysterious days, then if we have arrived at the time of the end, then we surely can understand it based on this number 666. It says, here is wisdom, you know, remember, let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, it's the number of a man, it's 666. And Solomon had wisdom, he got 666 talents of gold. It has to do with wisdom in regards to the interpretation of the 1260 days. Are you still with me?
Yeah. Okay. I'm definitely with you on that. As far as, you know, that's, to me, that's kind of one man's interpretation, one man's opinion. Certainly when you look at the trumpet and all the destruction that is to come, you know, the killing of one third of all the people on the earth, you know, 9/11, it just doesn't necessarily fit, other than what you would say you've calculated as a date there. But I think that's one of the things that we need to be aware of. I don't think that we can accurately calculate those dates.
We can, brother. We actually can. A month before it happened, believe me, I should have seen this, but so should you have back in 96. It's as simple as counting to 8 and arriving at 36. It's that simple. If you give me a few minutes, I can do it for you. You can check the math and you'll say, whoa,
yeah.
It's actually calculable.
Yeah. Well, Mark, we're not going to take that time on the broadcast. What I would ask you to do is email that information to us. And then
Jesus didn't write anything down. People say I should write it down, but, you know, I mean, we're supposed to follow the master. He didn't write anything.
Well, he certainly inspired others to do so. That's why we have the Word of God. Well, Mark, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it.
Plenty of open lines for you, 1-800-677-9377.
Yeah. What do you think about date setting like that?
It is a very, very dangerous thing. It can be a very interesting thing, but it can be very dangerous. I come from a history of it. I know just exactly what it can cost you. On the other hand, I also know that as you pay attention to these things that are going on in our world, the Spirit gives you information. That's the best way I can describe, so that you can discern that this is something worth paying attention to. Don't worry about that one. And you hold those things in your heart, and if you're doing it properly, and if he's who we just talked to, if he was doing it properly, it will build hope. It won't build judgment. It won't build fear. It won't build anything but a hope in Jesus Christ himself.
Yes, indeed. Good words. Let's go to Julie in New Hampshire. Hi, Julie. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good. I have a question. I was raised Catholic. I've been a believer my entire life. I totally believe in God and believe Jesus is his son and that he was sent to die for our sins and that I have salvation.
Okay.
But my question is, I struggle with the fact that God is perfect. And so does the fact that I believe in God but don't believe he's perfect, does that impact my salvation?
Well, Julie, I think to have a belief that God is not perfect would rattle your mind and emotions quite often. It would... you know, really do damage to your foundation as far as your belief system is concerned. Because what if the sacrifice of Christ wasn't perfect? If God's not perfect, that brings into question everything that he has revealed about himself, everything he's revealed about Jesus, everything that he's revealed about your salvation. If he's not perfect, maybe your salvation isn't perfect. And so it can raise a lot of doubts for you.
I guess the reason why I think that is because if we're made in God's image and God created us, we didn't evolve, there was no Big Bang, God created us. If he created us perfect in his image, then why did we eat from the tree of life and good knowledge in the first place? And I almost feel like Jesus was like his way of like cleaning up that mistake. Does that make sense?
Well, Jesus was certainly his way of cleaning up, Adam's sin, Adam and Eve's sin. But I think when they created Adam and Eve, they looked at Adam and Eve and said, good, very good, just as they did with every other aspect of creation. So when God calls something good, you got to step back and say, wow, that's good. And that's exactly how it was supposed to be made. Now, he gave man a capacity of choice. When Satan entered into the world and offered a choice, they took it because what he was offering looked good to them. And they wanted the ability to be God on their own. That was the choice they made. And so that choice subjected all of mankind to sin and death. And it's Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, that rescues us from that plight, from that condition, that gives us life. So I totally believe,
but I think if we were good, then we wouldn't have bought into the devil's lie, right? Like, if God made you and says you're good, then we would have not been tempted by the devil.
Yeah, what you're saying then is that if God made a mistake, God is responsible for sin. And God is not responsible for sin. Satan invented sin, Lucifer, and we bought into the lie. And so we brought the sin problem on ourselves. God cannot be the author of sin.
So, Julie, you ask about Adam and Eve. Well, what about Lucifer himself? What about Satan, the fact that he was the most beautiful of all angels, and yet he rebelled against God? How did that happen? And there's some aspects of the story that we just don't know, and we're not going to know until we go to be with the Lord. But we do know what's revealed about God, and what the Word tells us is that He is perfect in every way. There's no shadow of turning in Him, and every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And the most perfect of all was Jesus Christ. And so, Julie, Jesus offers us life, and that life is received by faith in Jesus. That's our real problem. We're dead spiritually. That's what sin caused, a separation between God and man. And that separation is closed when we come to Him by faith. We go from death to life. And that's the good news of the gospel. But a perfect God brought that into being.
So I'm not necessarily saved then if I can't wrap my head around God being perfect.
No, I didn't say that, Julie. I didn't say that
at all.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a legitimate question, but
yeah, yeah. You have the same question that most people do. Where did sin come from? How did it happen? How did it happen in the heavens? And then how did it happen here? We don't know the whole backstory of that. We don't know the mechanics behind it. We just know that it did. And so we can place blame in several different places. We could place blame on God, and that seems like what you're doing. You're saying, okay, he's the one that made the mistake. He's the one that didn't do it right from the get-go, and so he had to send Jesus to clean up his mess, to erase that mistake, so to speak. That's one option. I don't think the Bible necessarily would lead us to that option. I think, wherever there's good, there's a possibility of evil. Evil isn't a created thing. Evil is, a derived thing. It's a perversion of good. That's what sin is. It's a perversion of good. It's a missing the mark of love. That's what Satan had, and that's what he brought to this world, and that's what Adam and Eve bit on. And God had a plan for that all along in Jesus. So, Julie, I don't know whether you're saved or not. That's between you and the Lord. But salvation, you know, is this going from death to life. That's what it means to be saved by grace through faith. But great question. We appreciate you calling. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, let me put you on hold. We'll send you this little booklet that we have, Our Guaranteed Future. And if you have other questions, Julie, let's keep the dialogue going, okay?
Okay.
We'd love to hear more from you. And I think others would love to hear more of those questions, because you may be the one asking them or voicing them. I guarantee you others have them.
Okay, good. I'm glad I called, because I didn't know if I should ask it or not.
Well, I'm glad you did, Julie. We sure appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me put you on hold. Let's go quickly to Paul in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hi, Paul.
Oh, I'm glad to talk to you guys again.
Glad
you're
to talk
on Revelation. I'm so happy that you're doing that, because that's just a book I'm studying. Am I right to say that the chapters don't go in succession? They repeat once in a while. There's intervals. And
yes, that's exactly right. Yes. Revelation is not to be read as a timeline, you know, a sequence of events happening one after after another.
But it gets on the very last. It gets more. I guess it gets more worse, doesn't it? I mean, it's.
Well, I think what we see in the book of Revelation, we see a revelation of Jesus, and that's what God wants us to see more than anything else. Because that revelation of Jesus Christ, knowing who he is and what he's accomplished for us, is the foundation for us to build our lives upon. Without that revelation of Jesus Christ, we're going to be lost ducks. But in this context of the revelation of Jesus Christ, we see the judgment that he is going to bring upon the world, those who have rejected him. And those judgments are happening now, I think, and they have been happening through world history. And we're just going to see an intensification of those. And I think that's, to me, how the book of Revelation is organized, not in sequence. It's not a linear timeline. It's something that we see kind of cycling back and then intensifying, but it all ends with the second coming of Jesus Christ, the great victory that we receive in him. Well, Paul, hope that helps. Thanks for your great question, and thanks for joining us on this journey through Revelation. We certainly appreciate
it. I'll talk to you tomorrow again if I got time.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, well, guys, we are just about out of time, and interesting program. Well, this study in Revelation is it's getting really exciting to me. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel. We need to remind you that your support is absolutely vital to keep Basic Gospel on the air. We need your help. We need your help today. And to thank you for supporting Basic Gospel, for your gift of any amount, you'll receive the booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, as Bob Christopher mentioned a moment ago. But something special for you, for your generous donation of $50 or more, you'll get not only the booklet, but you'll receive the 8-message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, as well. Please join us and help keep Basic Gospel on the air, and at the same time, get real clarity in the book of Revelation. So that's the booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount. That booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make the donation of your choice, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, or at our website, basicgospel.net. While you're online at basicgospel.net, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join the email list. You'll receive the day-by-day preview, the synopsis of each day's look at the Revelation. So click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and you'll be instantly ready for that next exciting study tomorrow. In the meantime, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.